what it was. I enjoyed the services this morning. I appreciate the messages that Brother So brought, and I'm sure they were a blessing to you as well. Tonight we're going to finish, or this afternoon we're going to finish up our study on the life of John the Baptist. And we're going to finish this up, and then, of course, next week, as Brother Ped mentioned, there's not going to be an afternoon service. Just have one service next week. And then after that, Brother Mingfei is going to start taking the evening or the afternoon service, and he's going to be doing a series of messages that I know will be a blessing to us. And so certainly looking forward to all of that. But we're going to finish up the life of John the Baptist. You know, when a person dies, there are some people who will not even speak of the deceased. I don't know if they feel like it's bad luck or if they feel like maybe it's just something that is too painful, you know, and they just don't even want to talk about the one who has passed away. But let me just tell you that really that is not a good way of grieving. Part of the grieving process is actually talking about the person who has passed away. To talk about them, to review in your mind and talk with one another and remember the good times that you enjoyed with that person, to remember the good things, the good character traits that you observed in the life of that person. In other words, when a person passes away, we don't just automatically, we don't want to think about them anymore. We do want to think about them, and we want to remember the positive things. And of course, for those of us who are saved, it's even easier because we know absent from the body is present with the Lord, right? And so we have the wonderful hope that one day we're going to see them again. And certainly that is a great comfort when you remember someone who is departed from this life, but you know that during their life they were faithfully serving the Lord, they were living for the Lord, they were doing right in their life. Boy, what a comfort that is when it comes to grieving over those who have passed. But it's because of these things that I've just mentioned many times during a funeral service, and whenever I conduct a funeral, I'll always ask the family this question: Is there someone in your family that would like to give a eulogy? In other words, is there someone in the family who would like to take a few minutes and just express their feelings, what they remember about the person who has departed? And that's sort of what we're going to see in our study together this evening. We're going to see that John the Baptist, now that he's been executed by Herod. We're going to see how that there is a wonderful eulogy that is given. Probably the greatest eulogy of all, given by the Lord Jesus Himself. You remember what He said in Luke chapter 7 and verse number 28, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater than John the Baptist." There's not a greater than John the Baptist. And this was a statement that was actually given before John was even dead. But it's a testimony to the greatness of the man. But now he is dead. Now he is dead. And in our study, we saw the impact that John's death had on those around him, those who knew him. First of all, we saw the impact on the lives of his disciples, even though they were shocked by his death. You remember we saw how that they showed their love for him and that they were willing to put themselves in a place of danger in order that they might give to John a decent burial. They went and boldly requested the body of John from the very ones who had killed him and had the power to kill them as well. And then they took that headless body and lovingly and tenderly wrapped it and prepared it and then gave it the burial that it needed. So they showed their love. They also showed their loyalty. And they showed their loyalty in that after John was dead, they then began to follow the Christ that John had served. They began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They began to walk with Him. And so we saw the impact that His death had, first of all, on His disciples. Number two, on His nation. We saw the impact it had on His nation. How that because of His death, you remember, the nation had lost the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He departed, went up into Galilee, and then from Galilee went across and actually left the very area that Herod ruled over. Not only did they lose the presence in the ministry of Jesus, but they also gained something. Do you remember what it was? They gained a war. That's what they gained. And there was great loss that they suffered as a result of that. And then there was the influence that His death had on His enemies. You remember we talked about there was this thing of unreasonable fear. And we saw how that a guilty conscience is a terrible thing. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. And certainly that was true in the case of Herod. And then there was a humiliating disgrace. How that we saw how that Herod and Herodias, his wife, according to history, they were forced to flee into exile and went into the area that today we would call the area of France. And then there was the tragic bereavement, how that their daughter Salome was killed in a very tragic accident, a very gruesome thing indeed. And so certainly all of these things were the result of John the Baptist being executed. But now I want us to notice how he was remembered. I want us to notice how he was remembered, how he was eulogized, if I could put it that way. How he was eulogized by those who knew him best. And so let's go back and begin, number one, with the testimony of Christ. The testimony of Christ. In John chapter 5, verse number 35, the Lord Jesus basically is eulogizing John, and here's what he said. He was. John is dead now. And so Jesus says, He was. In other words, in this point, the Lord Jesus is speaking about the life of John. He's talking about the ministry of John. And He's going to tell us some things that John was. Some things that John was. First of all, I want you to notice he's going to remember the consecration. The consecration of John. John chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. In other words, as the Lord Jesus thought about John, one of the things he remembered about him was that John never claimed to be something he was not. He never claimed to be something that he was not. He was not that light. He was not the Messiah that had been promised from Old Testament times. But he was a faithful light in the capacity that God had entrusted to him. Lord Jesus remembered that. He remembered that. In John chapter 5, verse 35, that's why the Lord Jesus, here's what he said in the eulogy. John 5, 35. He was a burning and a shining light. He was that. He was a burning and a shining light. In other words, John was just like you and me in that he had no spiritual light of his own. He had no spiritual light of his own. He was merely a lantern through which God's light could shine to those around. He was a spiritual lantern. I read a story one time about a certain engineer or a certain conductor who worked along a railroad track, and there was a drawbridge that went over a river. And so they had a call one night that this ship was coming through and he was to raise the bridge so that the ship could pass through on the river there. And about the same time he found out that a train was coming in his direction, and so the order was given to go out with his signal light and to stop the train because this ship had priority because of the cargo that it was carrying. And so the man went out according to the orders that he received and began to wave his lantern, but the train went blowing right on by him, hit the bridge into the water. Many, many people perished in that. And so the question was asked, why didn't you wave your lantern? And his answer was, well, I did. I went out and I was waving my lantern and the train just ignored it and went blowing right on by. And they said, bring us the lantern and let us examine the lantern. And when they examined the lantern, they found that even though the light inside the lantern was working properly, get this, the lens on the lantern was so dirty, the light could not shine through. You see, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have God's light. We have His Holy Spirit who indwells us from the moment of our salvation. And our job is to shine just like John. We don't have any light, but we have His light in us. And our job is to shine for Him. But see, the problem is many times we allow the filth of the world to so get into our physical beings and into our lifestyle and our attitudes and our actions, and we become so much like the world that the light is not able to shine through. Not able to shine through. And people blow right on by us, never even realizing that we're Christians. And never even realizing that we have a message that they need to hear. Three things that I want us to notice about John's life and ministry that are found in the simple eulogy that the Lord Jesus Christ gave here. In this statement, we find, first of all, the Lord is speaking of, number one, the completeness of His service. The completeness of His service. I want you to notice that it says John was a burning and shining light. He wasn't just burning, and he wasn't just shining. He was both. He was a burning and a shining light. In other words, he was burning in that he was filled with a zeal for God, and he was shining because his life was marked by a spirit of holiness. You know, many times people are not balanced in their life and in their ministry. They talk about God and they are very zealous in that, and yet they live a life that is more worldly than it is holy. In other words, they're like that fella waving the lantern with the dirty lens. Nobody notices. Nobody pays any attention. But John was a man whose service was complete. His service was complete because in his personal life there was a perfect balance between his burning zeal for God and the holiness of character that allowed that light to shine through. The completeness of his service. Number two, I want you to notice the costliness of his service. You do not shine unless you burn. Do you get that? You do not shine unless you burn. And you do not burn without paying a price. You do not burn without paying a price. You see, you have to give up something if you're going to burn. There's going to be a loss of something in order that you might burn. When a candle burns, it gives of itself, right? You light that candle, and it begins to burn. And eventually you'll find that candle begins to grow shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter until there's nothing left but just a little puddle of wax, right? In order to burn, it gives itself. It melts away. Same way with a lantern. In order for a lantern to burn, it has to give its oil. In order for that lantern to give forth its light. And to serve God, John was willing, here's the key, John was willing to give up everything. In order to serve God, like Brother So talked about this morning, he was willing to put all of his life into God's hand. He was willing to be burned up for Jesus Christ. He was willing to give everything. Many people today are not willing to do much burning for God, are they? Many people today are not willing to do much burning. They're basically just a smoldering wick. There's a lot of smoke, but no real light. No real light. And the proof is seen in the fact that they'll only serve God if it's convenient. Or they'll only serve God if there's nothing else on their schedule. Or they'll only serve God if it does not get in the way of them enjoying some physical pleasure. But John the Baptist was a burning light. He was a burning light for God because he was willing to give everything. He was willing to be consumed in his service for God. He was a costly service. Not only that, number three, his was a courageous service. It was a courageous service. John did not simply burn for God. He was a shining light that shined brightly for God in a world of darkness. You remember the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 15, He said, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel." They don't do that. You don't light a candle and then put a box on top of it so it can't shine. You put it on a candlestick so that it gives light to all that are in the house. And certainly that is what John did. John was not one of those secret Christians. One of those secret Christians who defend their timidness by saying something, "Well, you know, my faith, you know, my religion, that's a personal matter, that's a private thing. We don't have to talk about that." Well, if you're a Christian, you ought to be talking about it. That's what you're commanded to do. As a Christian, you are commanded to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly John was. He was a man who courageously obeyed the words of the Savior when he said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine in your little corner where you are." Have you ever heard that song, "Brighten the Corner Where You Are"? That's another one of those songs that's not really good theologically. You're not to brighten your corner. You're to shine as a light to the whole world. Okay? But he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and talk about what a wonderful person you are." No, that's not it at all. "That they may see your good works, and as a result of what they see in you, they begin to ask questions like, why are you different? Why do you not respond to things that happen? I've observed you, and when things are going badly, you don't respond like everybody else. Why is that?" And it's during those opportunities that, because you have let your light shine, then comes the opportunity. Now you're able to talk about the God who has changed you on the inside. And as a result of that, they are introduced to the Savior, and the result of that is your Father, which is in heaven, is glorified, you see. That's how that works. That's how evangelism is carried out. And so we see this thing of John. We see then also, letter B, the response to John. In chapter 5, verse 35. I already changed the slide. John 5:35. "But ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." A couple of things we learn here about the response to John. First of all, I want you to notice it was short. It only lasted for a season. It only lasted for a season. You know, children have a very short attention span. Ask Sister Sharon. She'll tell you about that, right? Children have a very short attention span. That's why if you ever watch Sesame Street. Yes, I used to watch Sesame Street. I had two little boys. I watched it with them. You'd be amazed what I learned watching Sesame Street. But anyway, Sesame Street, you'll notice when you watch it, it's always moving from one thing to another. And they move very quickly. You know why? Kids have a short attention span. They have a short attention span. And the sad fact is that for most Christians, their attention span is even shorter. It's even shorter. And it's getting shorter all the time. Getting shorter all the time. When I was growing up, it was not uncommon to have a revival. I'll give you an example. Our church would have a revival, or we'd have a missions conference. We'd have a meeting. It would start on Monday night. We'd meet Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Lasted the whole week long. Today, most Christians would become physically ill if you were to suggest such a schedule. They might come Wednesday to Sunday as long as you give them Saturday off. All right? They might come. You know why? Short attention span. That's all it is. Just a short attention span. And that was the way people responded to John. It was only a short time that they were willing to leave the comforts of their home and go out in the wilderness to hear this preacher preach. It was only a short time that they were willing to go out and to listen to the man of God. And the reason why their interest and their attention span was only for a short while is simply because it was superficial. It was superficial. The Greek word that is translated rejoice here, they were willing for a season to rejoice in that light. The word rejoice there actually carries the idea that John's ministry in the eyes of many people was seen as a frivolous thing. It was seen as a superficial thing. It was an excitement that was short-lived and then quickly forgotten. That's the idea that is carried in the Greek word. In fact, F.B. Meyer, he wrote concerning this, and here's what he said. He said, the Greek word rendered rejoice has in it the idea of moths. You know those little butterflies that come flying around when you have a light? They come around, playing around, and playing around a light as it burns lower and lower, as though a light were given for men to some high and sacred purpose, but instead of girding up their loins to serious tasks, they treated his ministry as a pastime. That's what they were doing. It was just something to fill time. It was a superficial thing. Many today have the same idea. They're very serious about everything except what is most serious. They're very intense on things that really don't matter in the terms of eternity. They're very focused on things that are temporal, and yet they give no real serious thought to those things that have to do with the souls of men and the eternal destinies of those around them. That's why many Christians really do nothing more than play church for an hour on Sunday morning. And God help me if I go more than an hour. People talk about it all week long. You know how long Pastor Crocker preached last week? My goodness, I thought he would never shut up, you know. They may say it nicer than that, but you get the idea. And so many people today, they basically, many people today, they look at church as being merely an hour of religious, and I'm going to use the word, an hour of religious entertainment. That's all it is. It's an hour of religious entertainment so that they can go and leave and kind of feel like, okay, I'm holy. I've been to church, right? I've been to church. And they're like these people who listen to Ezekiel the prophet. And many are like those Jews who the Lord God said concerning them some very scathing words when he said, thou art unto them. This is God talking to the prophet. And he said, Ezekiel, I want to tell you something. Thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. God said to Ezekiel, there's people going to come and they're going to say, whoo! Oh boy, did you hear Mr. Ezekiel's message today? Man, it was good. Man, he preached so well and all the points were right there. And boy, it was just a wonderful sermon. And you know, his voice is just so pleasing. And it just wants to stir you and motivate you. And boy, it was just a great service. And I enjoyed it so much. And I listened to every word and I even filled in the study notes. But I'm not going to do any of it. I'm not going to obey. I'm not going to follow what was taught. But it sure was good. I'm afraid a lot of times we're just like those Jews, aren't we? A lot of times we're just like those. What a terrible rebuke. What a terrible rebuke to those who were privileged to hear the preaching of John the Baptist. What a terrible rebuke that is. But here's the point I want you to get. In spite of the response that John received, he faithfully continued to preach the message God had given to him. whether people liked it or didn't like it, whether it was popular or not popular. John was a faithful preacher of the message God had given to him. By the way, that's exactly what Paul was commanding Timothy to do when he said, Timothy, I want you to be instant in season and in out of season. You just preach the Word. You just preach the Word. When it's popular, when it's not popular, you preach the Word. What a wonderful eulogy the Lord Jesus Christ gave for John. He was a burning and he was a shining light for me. Not only do I want us to notice the testimony of the Lord Jesus, let's notice the testimony of the crowds. The eulogy that was given by the crowds in John chapter 10, verse 41, the many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, were true. They were true. Notice two things we find here that the crowd noticed concerning John, and in their eulogy they said concerning him. Well, first of all, there was their complaint. And their complaint was simply, you know, his ministry was not real spectacular. He didn't do a whole lot of miracles. In fact, he didn't do any miracles. So it wasn't a real spectacular ministry. And of course, this is not an unusual complaint, because normally the crowd is always looking for something that is sensational. The crowd is always looking for something that is going to be spectacular. And so if the preacher only has a message, then the carnal-minded crowd is going to be disappointed by that. They'll be disappointed by it. They want something that is more interesting, something that is more amazing. They want to see miracles. They want to see miracles. By the way, it's interesting that the Greek word translated miracle in our text is the same word that is translated sign in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12 and verse 39, where it says this, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. In other words, it is not the spiritual heart that goes around looking for a miracle. It's an evil and adulterous heart that is looking for something spectacular, looking for something that is miraculous. That's why we must never judge a ministry by the miracles that it produces. Many, many Christian magicians are running around, and I'm not referring to the guy at Marine Parade, okay? But there are many Christian magicians who are running around that are deceiving great crowds of people with their so-called miracles. We need to understand that the value of a ministry is not in the miracles that it produces. The value of a ministry is seen in the truths that it proclaims. That's the value of the ministry. And so therefore, even though the people complained that John did no miracles, they quickly followed that with a wonderful compliment. Notice the compliment. John said, well, Jesus was exactly right. That was their compliment. Whatever John said about Jesus Christ, it was the truth. It was the truth. That was the compliment. In fact, the Lord Jesus Himself bore witness to this fact. In John chapter 5 and verse 33, Jesus said to the religious leaders, He said, "You sent unto John." Remember, the religious leaders came to John. They asking him, "Who are you? By what authority are you doing these things?" And so Jesus said, "You sent unto John," and here's what he did. He bare witness unto the truth. He bare witness unto the truth. In other words, the testimony of the people concerning John the Baptist was that without a doubt, the highest commendation that could be given to any person who is a witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He spoke the truth. He spoke the truth. When it was popular, when it wasn't popular, he spoke the truth. When people appreciated it, when they hated it, he spoke the truth. May God help that to be so of each and every one who is a witness for Jesus Christ. Certainly, John the Baptist was a great man of God. The testimony of Jesus Christ Himself and the testimony of those who heard Him preach bore witness to the fact of His greatness. They bore witness to the fact of His greatness, and may God help us to live in such a way and to minister in such a way and to let our light shine in such a way that when we depart from this life, first of all, that we might be honored by God. In other words, that we might hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant." But not only that we might be honored by God, but that we also might be honored by men. And that we will be remembered after our passing. That we will be remembered as a people who did not simply proclaim what was popular or what was acceptable, but we were people who faithfully proclaimed that which was true. That which was right. Not according to man's thinking, but according to what does this book say. May God help us to have that kind of testimony. That when our life is done, and others come to eulogize us, that they might be able to say concerning us the very same thing that was said concerning John the Baptist. What a great man he was. What a privilege it has been to consider, to study together from his life. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the testimony, for the